Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we get an update from our Minnesota Vietnam Veterans of America, and we'll learn about a regional golf event to support our Minnesota military families. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
June 6, 1944, 160,000 Allied troops landed along a 50-mile stretch of heavily fortified French coastline to fight Nazi Germany on the beaches of Normandy, France. Dwight D. Eisenhower called the operation a crusade in which we will accept nothing less than full victory. More than 5,000 ships and 13,000 aircraft supported the D-Day invasion. And by day's end, on June 6, the Allies gained a foothold in Normandy. The D-Day cost was high. More than 9,000 Allied soldiers were killed or wounded, but more than 100,000 soldiers began the march across Europe to defeat Hitler. This D-Day, I will pause and reflect on what our men and women in uniform have sacrificed for our country. I am in awe of great service in any generation. While demands and pressures are different today than they were on D-Day, selfless service prevails among our service members.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Jim Fisher, Vice President of the State Council of Minnesota's Vietnam Veterans of America and a fellow Vietnam veteran. Jim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Jim, good to have a fellow Vietnam veteran in the studio today. Can you tell us a little bit about where did you serve and which service you were in?
Tom, I joined the Army in January of 1967. I graduated from high school in 65, spent a year or so in college, and decided college wasn't for me. I looked around at best opportunities. I wanted to become a heavy equipment operator, and the Army offered me two things. They offered to train me as a heavy equipment operator and told me right up front they'd be sending me to Vietnam. So
you enlisted?
I enlisted, yes. Three-year hitch.
In 1967. What were you thinking, Joe?
Well, I was thinking that I didn't want to get drafted and that I wanted to use the military to gain some sort of training of some kind.
And to pick your military specialty.
And yeah, and so the engineer units in the Army offered me the best opportunity to become what I wanted to do, become a heavy equipment operator.
So what did you do for training before you went to Vietnam?
I spent 8 weeks in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, in basic training. At that time, just about everyone from Minnesota went to Fort Campbell, Kentucky for basic training. It was the home of the 101st Airborne. It's down there and on the border of Tennessee and Kentucky. So I went there in the spring. I actually didn't go active until April and spent 2 months down there training. After that, I was shipped directly to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, for engineer training. That was where the Army trained all of their heavy equipment operators.
And how long was that training?
That was also 8 weeks. And there they trained you on everything for a couple of weeks and then moved you into a specialty, a bulldozer, road grader, scraper, cranes. I was a road grader operator, trained as a road grader operator.
I didn't know we had road grader operators in Vietnam, but I'm sure you're going to tell us about that.
We did, and we had all that kind of equipment. I went home after that 8 weeks for a two-week leave and was sent directly over to Vietnam. I didn't know it at the time, but at that point in time, the Army was building up their engineer forces a great deal. They found in Vietnam that they needed more engineers all the time, because of the terrain and the weather, and keeping things rolling, keeping roads built. It's a funny story that when they first went over, they thought they'd all be able to stay in tents for a year or so. And then, of course, all the tents rotted away, and we had to build somewhat semi-permanent buildings. So my unit was a what they call a combat engineer unit, consisting of four line companies, which would do direct infantry support, and a headquarters company that had personnel, supply, and heavy equipment. Like myself, we had a platoon, and we had all the equipment in our platoon.
So you had to be all of about 20 years old and arrived in Vietnam in 1968?
I arrived there in September of 1967.
67, just before the big Tet Offensive of 1968.
Correct. Mm-hmm. My unit was in a place called Zion, a little north of Saigon. It was the headquarters of the 1st Infantry Division, and we were pretty much joined at the hip as a support for the 1st Infantry Division, among other engineer units.
We're speaking with Jim Fisher from Minnesota's Vietnam Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, I can remember when I stepped off the plane and hit Vietnam. Could you remember your first day?
I do, and it's a lot like everyone else's. The heat hit you. I mean, I had been in Missouri, but that was nothing like the heat there. Rode the bus with the screens on the windows so they couldn't throw their grenades inside. Ended up in a transit type of unit for a day, and then was sent on to my battalion within another day. I spent two or three days there in training, and I think within a week I was assigned then to the permanent unit, the headquarters company of the 168 Combat Engineers.
Didn't take too long to get you right in the thick of it, did it?
They got you in there right away. There were always people leaving and always people coming in. We had a full battalion, 1,000 men, pretty much. Plus, we had a company connected with us, which was called a land clearing company. They used a bulldozer, a D-70 bulldozer with what was called a Rome plow on it. And they used these to knock jungle down.
Build fire bases.
Mostly just go out and knock jungle down. They'd send out 30 bulldozers and just windrow the jungle down. It was quite an interesting group of fellas, all volunteers, and I was surprised when I went to this battalion, and there were so many guys from my unit, from my training unit, that went there, and then I realized they had this special unit with them. They would evolve through the war to be used all over Vietnam, and they incurred a lot of casualties, and it was quite a unit. I did not get into that 27th land clearing because I was a road grader operator, but I learned to operate everything.
But in 1968, you were telling me a story right after, before or after, during the Tet Offensive.
During the Tet Offensive, of course, almost all bases were hit in some way, and we were the headquarters of the 1st Division. Zion was not hit very hard, but Lai K, which was about 35 miles north of us, was hit quite heavily, and they were running out of ammunition. And so they asked for volunteers to go down to a base called Long Bin, which was down near Saigon, and pick up ammo and take it up 30 miles to Zion and then 30 miles further.
So were you volunteered or voluntold?
No, I volunteered. Another fellow and I, and we took a 5-ton flatbed truck down there that we would normally haul a bulldozer on, and loaded it up with 155 shells. A note, we were at one end of the ammo dump loading up shells. The other end of the ammo dump was on fire. So it was a little bit shaky.
Did we paint targets on your back before you volunteered on this mission, Jim?
We then turned around, and it took us a day and a half to get 60 miles back up to Lai K and unload our stuff.
I'll bet there was a lot of praying going on in the cab of that.
A lot of sniper fire and that kind of thing. We didn't lose anyone. We didn't get a hit. They were mostly, concentrating on the bases. So, for those who don't know, the way the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese would work back in those days is they worked in small teams, small groups, and then they would all get together for the big attacks. If they were going to make attack on a huge base, they'd know well ahead of time, and they'd group themselves back up so they had 300-400, and then they would attack. And after that attack, they would then melt back into their 5-, 6-, 10-man teams. So
Well, I'm certainly glad you made it back from that ammo run.
It was one of many brushes that I had over the years. Yes, I took one of the first things I did was drive a dump truck because we had a lot of dump trucks and we needed operators. So the first few months I did a lot of convoying up a road called Highway 13 up to one of our forward units in Quan Loy. It was a road that you could barely make 10 miles an hour on, and we'd be hauling up sand and gravel for our unit up there that was building hard stands for hooches, barracks.
So you got to tour the countryside of Vietnam.
I did, yeah.
Not a very good way to do it, Jim.
Well, it wasn't, but I was doing what I wanted to do. I was operating heavy equipment, heavy trucks. I felt I was doing something. I didn't care for stateside service very much, and as we talked about earlier, I ended up staying in Vietnam for 2 years because I felt one of the reasons is I felt that at the time, this is where the action was. That's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be doing something every day, not...
Jim, I want you to hold that thought. We have to take a short break.
Oh.
When we come back, we'll let the listeners know what you were thinking about volunteering to stay extra time. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're talking with Jim Fisher from Minnesota Vietnam Veterans of America. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with Jim Fisher, Vice President of the State Council of Minnesota's Vietnam Veterans of America and a fellow Vietnam veteran, of course. And Jim, just before we went to break, you went to Vietnam and you were there in late 67. You were there for the Tet Offensive, one of the worst years of the war, and you extended your stay. What were you thinking?
I think my levy came up to send me back to Missouri, and I decided I'd rather be in Vietnam of all places than Missouri. I took a free 30-day leave and then came back for 6 months. I did that again, and it allowed me to rotate out of the Army 5 months early. So it was kind of a planned thing, and I wanted to be there. Like I said, I liked to be where the action was and where we were doing something every day. You made good rank. You made good pay. It was, at the time, it was worth it.
A young man's dream, I guess, but you were very deliberate.
Adventure.
There you go. You were deliberate, and you got out of the Army with some money in your pocket and a bunch of leave you got paid for, and you survived 2 years in Vietnam.
Yes.
Oh, Jim. We better get to work now. We're supposed to be here talking about Vietnam Veterans of America, and I'll bet we could tell stories for an hour. So, tell me. As Vice President of the State Council of Vietnam Veterans, Minnesota's Vietnam Veterans of America, what does that mean? What do you do?
Well, the State Council is made up of the presidents of the 11 local state chapters of Vietnam Veterans of America. We have about 1,200 members statewide between the 11 chapters and our at-large members. Our chapters work individually and separately on different types of veterans help. We all work with nursing homes. We work with homeless. We give scholarships. We do all kinds of different things. On the state level, we have a veteran service officer. Her name is Julie Bailey. She's located at the Whipple Building. And she handles veterans' claims, as you can imagine and have heard of. There's thousands and thousands of those claims. She's rated as one of the top VS veteran service officers in the country, and we're very proud to have her. She brings in between $4 and $5 million a year to this state in veterans' claims.
Jim, how much time does she spend on Agent Orange-related issues?
Oh, I would say 75% of what she probably does is Agent Orange related. Of course, one of the things Vietnam veterans has done over the years is fought for recognition of Agent Orange problems. You can maybe remember, well, it used to be years ago, you had to prove you were around when the plane flew over with the Agent Orange. Now all you have to prove is that you set foot in Vietnam to be considered as possibly having been affected by Agent Orange. There are several presumptive diseases that go along with that, diabetes, some heart diseases, that kind of thing.
We've talked about this with Mark Madsen, and he had on one of your other officers, and we talked about the presumptive diseases related to Agent Orange. And as our listeners know, type 2 diabetes is one that that I'm afflicted with from Vietnam, along with some skin issues. And
as am I.
I found that the process of submitting the claim wasn't too bad, and the care that we get out at the VA Medical Center is superb.
The VA Medical Center in Minneapolis is rated as one of the top hospitals in the country. I just happened to go through an emergency knee surgery about 3 months ago, and I'm getting back to walking after 3 months recuperation. And I can say that the care was excellent, beyond compare.
So for our Vietnam veterans that are out there, they can either go to their county veteran service officer, register with their DD-214, get some help there, or they can come right to the Minnesota's Vietnam Veterans of America, and your veteran service officer can take care of them.
Yes, and if they want to get a hold of us or need more information, they can look at our website, mn.vva.org. Those phone numbers and links and contacts are all located within that website.
And we'll have a link to that website on Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, so it's easy for our listeners to remember.
Good.
Jim, what other type of things does the Minnesota VVA do? What other types of programs do you support?
This year we're supporting bringing a traveling Vietnam, the Vietnam Veteran Wall, to Marshall, Minnesota. It's coming in July 10th through the 14th. It's going to be at Independence Park. There's going to be a ceremony, ceremonies on Friday evening. For anyone who hasn't seen the wall in Washington or even seen one of these traveling walls, it's a very moving experience just to see all of these names. And there's people there that will help you look up a name on the wall, help you do a rubbing. This is there are several walls that travel throughout the country. It's quite an expense to bring it in, but we have some veterans down in the Marshall area, the city, some businesses that have really pushed it, and we're hoping to be able to get enough people involved to start a new chapter down there.
Bill, and anyone that hasn't seen the wall, especially Vietnam veterans, you've got to do it. You've got to face her down.
Yes, that's for sure. There's nothing quite like it. It's so moving. I personally have not seen the wall in Washington, D.C. I've not been to Washington, D.C. yet, hoping to go this October. But even the traveling wall is quite an experience.
Jim, when you get to the wall in Washington, D.C., I've seen it 3 or 4 times. Kind of saw it the first 2 times. I kind of couldn't see very well. But the last time I was there, I noticed there's a bunch of old guys like you and I up there touching names of our buddies. And then the next generation's walking by about 15 feet behind us, very respectfully, but it wasn't their war.
Yeah.
And then when I went over to the Korean in the World War II, I was the guy walking by very respectfully. You'll see that out there. It's interesting to see.
Yes.
Who's eligible to be a member of Minnesota's VVA?
Well, to be a member of VVA nationally, you have to have served on active duty other than for training purposes from February 26, 1961 through May 7th of 1975, and that's in-country. Or if you are not an in-country Vietnam veteran, you can still belong to Vietnam Veterans of America. If you're an era veteran, you have to serve between August 5th, 1964 and May 7th, 1975. But you're a full-fledged member as a Vietnam-era veteran.
And you can find that information at vva.org.
Yes.
Or we'll have the links once again on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook site.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, I have to ask you, what's the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans America's reaction to the current VA healthcare crisis? Secretary Shinseki resigning, and the problems that seem to be in other parts of the country.
Well, along with our national group, which lobbies Congress quite heavily, and John Rowan, our national president, came out in agreement with most other veterans organizations, and that General Shinseki had to go. But we really thank him for all the work he's done. He got over 2 million more veterans involved in the hospital system. He's done a lot of good things. I think what will happen when this all comes down is that we'll find, because of the bureaucratic way that the VA, the Veterans Administration hospitals work, we will find that it's maybe not quite as bad as they said it was, but it sounds to me like the preliminary reports are there is some truth to the matter, is that these waiting lists were kept and for the reasons of making your department look good.
So there's always room to improve.
There's always room to improve. Again, like I say, we're so fortunate to have the Minneapolis Hospital as rated as high as it is, and we don't seem to be having those problems here.
We're speaking with Jim Fisher from Minnesota's Vietnam Veterans of America and Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, we just got a couple of minutes left, but I want to go to the Vietnam Veterans of America's founding principle and motto. Could you share that with us?
Well, our founding principle is never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. And the reason we say that is many Vietnam veterans, when they came home, felt neglected, ignored, and kind of set aside. Not always, not everywhere, but the most of the time they felt that the World War II veterans didn't respect them for what they did. It's unfortunate. I think over the years, as the real story was told, we gained more respect. But the reason we say this is we're doing all we can right now to help those coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq to see that they get the benefits that they deserve and to see that they're taken care of on down the road.
Take care of our service members, our veterans, and their families.
Correct. Yes.
Jim, I think we were just in a funny time. There was a big hangover after World War II in Korea, and the country was tired of war. And I think we were just in a little time block where it just happened. We're doing a lot better today.
Yep, I believe we are, yes.
Jim, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No. The next time you see a veteran, shake his hand. Thank him for his service, and you'll make his day.
And for our fellow Vietnam veterans, join the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans of America and lend your voice to the cause.
That's right. We still have a lot to do, and we still have a lot to say. We might be getting older, but we're getting a little wiser.
I hope so, Jim. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Jim Fisher from Minnesota's Vietnam Veterans of America. In a moment, we'll learn about a regional golf event to support our Minnesota military families. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with Randy Byrne from the Fridley VFW Men's Auxiliary. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
It's known fondly as the Star Spangled Banner. Old Red, White, and Blue, Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, and the list goes on and on. The American flag is recognized across our country to far-reaching nations, even second and third world countries. Our flag stands as a beacon to the world, representing independence, liberty, patriotism, and freedom. It is a symbol of enduring hope. Each year, June 14th is recognized as Flag Day. Although this is a little known and even less celebrated day, let's commit to spending time reflecting on our flag. Although it's made just of cloth, our flag represents all of those throughout history who have stood against our enemies, braved unspeakable conditions, and sustained injuries. Some even gave their lives. Let us fly it proudly with honor and loyalty. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the men's auxiliary of the Fridley VFW is Randy Byrne. Randy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks so much. This has been an honor and privilege for you to have me here. I appreciate it.
Better save judgment on that till later, Randy.
Okay, I will.
Randy, you're here today because you're a busy guy up at the VFW, but you also have been the chair of a golf benefit up there. Can you tell us how that all started?
Well, a few years back, we wanted to start sending our money to a more local organization, and we came across the MMFF. And we sent you a letter and wanted to get involved with doing our golf benefit for you guys. And
that'd be the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Correct. And this has been just a great honor to be part of this organization. We've been meeting so many great people, and this is just an honor to do this for you guys.
Now, Randy, you're not a veteran.
No.
But I saw last year at the tournament that there was a poster up talking about the Byrne family tree. How many veterans were on there? There was a pile of them.
35 veterans. There was three active currently, cousins of mine. But this is a list of all my relatives from my great-grandma on down. So great-great-uncles, uncles on my mom's side and my dad's side. My dad was a Vietnam vet, and all my uncles. And a lot of my cousins also served. One was a Marine in Desert Storm. And a lot of current National Guard members right now, too. So
how did you get active in the men's auxiliary?
A friend of mine asked me to get involved, do some more volunteer work, and I had a lot of free time. And I wanted to do something, make a change, and I joined the men's auxiliary. The men's auxiliary has only been around for 10-plus years, I believe. And when I joined, I noticed that I needed to be more active. I really wanted to put my finger on a lot of things that the VFW and Fridley does, as well as what the men's auxiliary does for the Veterans Affairs.
So you're up there, and you're the president of the men's auxiliary for coming up on how many years?
They just voted me in as a third-term president for the men's auxiliary, and I guess I'm doing something right there, and I'm going to keep working hard. We have a great crew of guys. I call them brothers, and we do a good job. We do a lot of great events. We're always active and doing things for the Post and as well as Veterans Affairs, like the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. So
you even do a little cooking up there, don't you?
Yes, I saw you come up here one time and had one of our awesome pork tenderloins. We do pork tenderloin sandwiches, homemade, every fourth Saturday at the Fridley VFW, and they're coming quite famous, I think. So we get a lot of people coming in.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but they were pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, how did you get started with the golf tournament?
I've golfed all my life since I was a little kid, and one of the guys that was a brother started this golf tournament through the men's auxiliary, and he knew I golfed, and so I helped him. When he left our post, I said, well, I got to take it over. And I've been doing it for 7 years now, and this is the third year now with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And ever since when we joined up with you folks, it's just been great. It's been growing fast and furious. We've been signing some great sponsors, meeting some awesome people. This year we have a special guest, retired General Joe Kelly, and we're going to have an honor to have him again for the second time. So it's just been great.
We're speaking with Randy Byrne, president of the Men's Auxiliary from the Fridley VFW on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Randy, you've been doing a fundraiser to help with veterans issues for 7 years, and as you say, you sent in a letter, and I got around to answering it. I finally found you, and we came up, and we had a lot of fun that first year.
Yes, we did, yes.
And we invited you off to the Bigot Tournament over in August at Tartan Park, and I think you kind of liked that.
I was blown away by that tournament. I got a lot of ideas from there.
You did, and last year you had an even bigger tournament, and this year you've been working hard all winter, and I know you did a promotion with the local jewelry store.
Yeah, Gould's Jewelry is actually is the oldest jewelry store in Minnesota, and I got connected with those folks, and they did a first quarter fundraiser for a military cause, and they got in touch with me through some friends, and I said, well, we have to do it for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and they said, so be it. Made some posters up for those folks, and they ran with it, and I know they raised over probably $3,000 just in that first quarter. I haven't heard the final number yet.
Yeah, I thought you were going to wait and surprise me.
You heard it was getting up to that number, but I don't know what the final number is. I'm still don't know, so...
Well, as our longtime listeners know, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation provides emergency financial funds to Minnesota military families from all services, active duty, guard, and reserve. And we're very pleased to have the Men's Auxiliary, the Fridley VFW, to help us raise funds every year at your regional tournament. And I hope you're going to fill it up this year. But I also know that last year, I think at the last minute, there was somebody from Federal Cartridge that filled in for a foursome. And you got him infected, didn't you?
I sure did. Dennis Angel is a senior supervisor there at Federal Cartridge. And he is just fantastic. He's a veteran himself, a Marine from Vietnam. And he's a mutual friend with some people, but he's just got the bug as well. And we're going to have him again this year. And
Randy, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to visit more with Randy Byrne and the gentleman from Federal Cartridge and see just how that's all unfolding. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phelan Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phelan Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985, and we'd welcome an opportunity to help you. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Randy Byrne, president of the Men's Auxiliary from the Fridley VFW, about his upcoming tournament to benefit the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And Randy, I know you've been working real hard all winter, as we said, and you've been lining up teams, and you've been telling me you're going to fill this one up, but you brought somebody special with you today. Who is it?
Brought with us today Timothy Brandt. He's the director of communications at Federal Cartridge.
Tim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Randy, thanks a lot for bringing me. Tom, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Tim, now I understand that there was one foursome in last year's tournament with Randy that was Federal Cartridge people. There's a few more this year, I hear.
Yeah, Dennis is pretty enthusiastic, and I think he's tracked down five teams so far, right, Randy?
That's correct, and I think he's got more coming.
Well, and that's fantastic. It's a great cause. You know, we're happy to be associated with it, and it all goes to some great people.
So Randy's infected you guys, and you've put some teams in there, and you're going to sponsor a dinner, I think. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, we are. So we're heavily involved in this golf tournament, and it's a perfect fit for us. You know, throughout the years, we've been very, very dedicated to supporting our military. It's something that we do a little bit of with our business, but, you know, in our giving and in our values, we value that pretty high.
Now, we were lucky enough that Sergeant Ben and a few of the other MMFF board directors and myself got to tour your plant, and it's up in Anoka, almost downtown Anoka, and it's a big place.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. It's been there for 92 years. It's been in operation, so it's pretty exciting. We're growing. I know that no one needs to confirm that the demand for ammunition is going on, but I'm glad you guys got a chance to come out and see just how much we do. And you know, we've got somewhere around 1,700 employees there right now, and what's pretty neat is we did a quick look, and based on our hiring records, over 250 people identified themselves as veterans, so that's a pretty high percentage of employees that are actual veterans at the Anoka facility, which we're very proud of and happy to support other veterans.
And it looked and sounded like you employ about half the town and several generations of each family work at Federal Cartridge.
Yeah, that's been common for a long time, a lot of multi-generations. It's been a great place to work and a great place to see grow over the years.
Now, Tim, we saw the place was as busy as it probably could be, and we heard that you're not having many holidays this year. You're running around the clock, putting out ammunition just as fast as you can.
Absolutely. We've been going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for several years now. So the team over there, we're doing as much as we can to crank out the ammo as fast as we can.
Tim, I hear from a lot of my shooting friends that they go to buy ammo and sometimes they can't find what they need, whether it's 22s or whatever. What's going on with that? Is there a shortage?
Sure, Tom. Well, there's no doubt that the demand is high. You know, over the last few years, there's been a lot of new entrants into our market, which means new shooters. There's a lot of shooting sports that are growing. You and I were talking off air about trap shooting, for instance, just on the youth side of things. I mean, the number of teams in the Minnesota has grown exponentially in the last 5 years, and that's all great. And there's also, you know, a lot of new shooters in there interested in handgun and rifle platforms. So when people go out to the stores and they see some of their favorite calibers that aren't readily available or maybe only a few different loads to choose from, that's because there are so many other passionate and enthusiast shooters out there.
Tim, the tournament that Randy heads up for us, the regional event up at on June 21st at Victory Links Golf Course, is one of four regional events, and then we have a big corporate event coming up in August over at Tartan Park. And I know Randy's been bit with the MMFF bug, and he's trying to help military families, and it sounds like a lot of you folks at Federal Cartridge have got the same thing going now.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of excitement around that. I know that's a beautiful course. Should be a great time of year. I don't think it'll snow that day. And, you know, I don't have a hard time remembering the date because that's the date I'm getting married. So, unfortunately, I won't be in one of these foursomes this year, but hopefully next year.
Tim, we just got a couple of minutes left. Tell us about the tournament itself. June 21st, Victory Links Golf Course.
Yes, it's Saturday. It's 2 o'clock, shotgun. We want people to sign up and be there about 12:30. We got a lot of cool things happening before we do the shotgun start. We're still looking for more teams. We got some few openings left. We're going to fill it up this year for sure, and it's going to be an exciting year for us. And I think every single year we've had a tournament, 6 out of 7 years has been perfect weather. So we're looking for another great day.
Okay, and the cost of the event?
It's $75 per person, Tom, and it's $300 per team. Very inexpensive. It's a lot of fun. We're going to feed you back at the VFW Fridley. We're going to give, hopefully, everybody a little goodie to take home, and it's just going to be a great day.
And we'll have information on where you can sign up for that tournament. All you have to do is go to Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, and Sergeant Ben will have a link up there so they can go to it. So we go out and we golf, it's a scramble, and we come back to the Fridley VFW for a nice dinner.
You bet.
And as I recall, the last couple of years, there's a lot of silent auction items and raffle items, and some of the funnest raffle items I've seen in a long time.
Yes, yes. We're always looking for more, too, folks. So if you want to give to a great cause, I mean, we're always looking to accept some more silent auction stuff. So,
Tim, I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and thank all your people at Federal Cartridge for supporting Randy in the event so that we can raise money so that we can help our Minnesota military families.
Well, Tom, thanks for having me on, and we really appreciate what you do.
Randy, one last time, date, time, and where is it?
Yes, June 21st, Victor Links Golf Course in Blaine, 12:30 sign-up, 2 o'clock shotgun.
Everybody come on out. Let's fill that up and raise some money for our Minnesota military families. Once again, Ben will have information on our Facebook page at Minnesota Military Radio. Tim, Randy, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Randy Byrne and Tim Brandt talking about the Fridley Minnesota Military Family Foundation golf event coming up on June 21st. 70 years ago this week were important dates in history, starting with the 34th Infantry Division's Red Bulls participating in the liberation of Rome.
My friends, yesterday, on June 4th, 1944, Rome fell to American and Allied troops. The first of the Axis capitals is now in our hands. One up and two to go.
And that headline, Liberating Rome, was short-lived because of this.
Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France.
June 6, 1944, and the greatest armada in military history is assembled in England for an assault on Hitler's fortress Europe, all under the supreme command of General Dwight D. Eisenhower, who has British General Montgomery at his side. British and U.S. planes bomb the French coast around the clock, dropping 9,000 tons of explosives during the few hours before the landing. The Allies have complete control of the air and cover the surface forces as Allied troops pile into landing craft. 500 warships lay down a withering barrage, and it's the beginning of the end for Hitler's dreams of world conquest. Casualties were heavy in those early hours, but the Allies were on their way to Berlin.
I urge you to take a moment to remember our service members that fought in Europe during World War II. We'll have links to more information on our Facebook and Twitter page at Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jim Fisher, Randy Byrne, Tim Brandt, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about housing help and volunteer opportunities available for veterans from Habitat for Humanity. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.